Now, tell me about your father.
City Counselling on 95BFM, our weekly chat with the good people of Auckland Council.
Auckland Council has found itself with an over of $250 million shortfall for the 2023-24 budget. Mayor Wayne Brown and the councillors are now looking at solutions to plug the gap, which could be anything from double-digit rates rises or severe cuts. I spoke to Councillor Mike Lee about what caused the budget deficit and what may be some of the solutions.
Where is this massive hole in their budget come from, do you think?
Overall, I believe it's a systemic problem that the council has had. This council spends way too much money on way too few big corporates, and I do not believe has the resources or perhaps even the will to extract value for money. There's an attitude, it's other people's money. Our relationship is with these contractors. We work well with them. People, whatever they ask, we tend to give it to them. And the cost environment in Auckland, you know, we have the world now has, the Western world at least, has real inflation. We won't go into the reasons for that. After almost a couple of decades of very, very low inflation, therefore low interest rates. Now we have real inflation, and it is a problem. But in Auckland Council world, they've always had what they call inflation. And what they've called inflation in the past is essentially price gouging, essentially from the construction industry, which is ubiquitous. It's virtually everything to do with transport relates to that. It relates to, you know, roads, soccerways, you name it, safety improvements, real and so-called. And, of course, it impacts on the housing market and the cost of building homes for people, new homes for people. All those costs are way above the international market level, and mostly the national level. And I believe, I've come to believe that one of the prime causes for this rather bizarre market is Auckland Council itself. It has so much money to spend and spends it and borrows that it actually is causing capacity problems. In other words, they've got so many jobs happening at once that it puts pressure on the construction sector, so the construction sector becomes a seller's market. But it also means that there is opportunities for price gouging and all the lurks and tricks that happen out there in the real world, which Auckland Council, I have found, is not particularly skillful or even that much interested in dealing with. So this is the result of that culture. But also, the trigger point, I guess, for the current emergency is an increase in global interest rates. And so that is the official explanation. But my real concern is, sitting through many, many hours of closed-door workshops, which I have a problem with anyway, I'm not going to give away any details, but I can say that my own personal impression is there's no real mirror there to say, what about us? Have we done something wrong? This is not just recent. This has been going on for some time. Can we look at ourselves and criticise ourselves and identify systemic problems? It's all, there's none of that happening right now. I will be working to see that there is some independent analysis of this huge operation, which is Auckland Council. But I have to tell you, David, I have little confidence that the people who got us in to this fix are the right people to get us out of it. And I'm concerned that there'll be some expedient measures taken which will make the problem go away in the short term. but I'm really concerned about what we need for the future and what this council provides as a legacy for those 1.7 million or more, 2 million, whatever, and rising young Aucklanders who will take over from us. I'm at this stage very, very concerned about that.
What is council proposing to plug the gap? Is it rates rises or cuts or a bit of both?
As they say, I don't want to get into any trouble by divulging anything specific, but I can only quote an official voice that says everything is on the table. That's the claim. My problem is that everything isn't on the table. The council itself and the way it behaves, its culture, its systems, or lack of them, that's not really on the table, and I intend to put that right on the table, and so do my colleagues.
Are there any council-funded projects that might be under threat, like zoos or theatres or museums?
No, I don't think so. I don't think there's a will for that. I can tell you we had a briefing from one CCO, and it had a triangular graph. There was no metrics. At one end of the graph, where it was virtually the sharp end, was at zero, was traditional councils. And at the other end was well-being, vibrancy, prosperity, implying that was us. And I said to this person who was in charge of the zoo, the art gallery, the town hall, and all those other precious taonga, I have to point out to you that it was traditional local councils who provide most of the assets that you are responsible for. And you've got no metrics on that graph. We need objective data if we're going to make informed decisions. But you know, your beliefs about who provided what do not align with the facts, and they should, and we need to respect the legacy, like the art gallery, like the Aotea Centre, and the museum provided by us. And that was from Auckland City Council. And let me tell you about the Auckland Regional Authority, or the Auckland Regional Council, with its wonderful regional parks network and the renaissance of passenger rail in Auckland that the ARC was involved in. That was all handed down to us. So I think you need to get your understanding about who provided what in this city before we put out graphs like that.
What would your suggestions or ideas be?
The major spend in the Auckland Council, so-called super city, goes through Auckland Transport. It is a unique experiment. Roads, rates, rubbish were always thought to be the core business of local government, especially in the minds of conservatives. But this is a key function, transport. In answer to the question, what would I do? I would have to say that AT is guided by a neoliberal philosophy. We live in a neoliberal world. All our public transport functions are run by private operators, and all, I believe now, are run by overseas private operators. The money they get paid is so good that overseas investors snap up these companies. In the meantime, Auckland Transport itself has 1,800 staff members working in quite plush accommodation down at Viaduct Harbour. I actually much prefer publicly owned public transport. However, if we're going to have all private public transport services, I question the need for the vast army of a shadow army, if you like, of bureaucrats living in quite palatial office environment. And I think we, given the crisis, we need to make some cuts in that area. I'm open if these people have convincing case to justify that huge expenditure in an administration, okay, one has to be open to persuasion. But as a quick answer, I'd begin making cuts in that area. There are also quite controversial road improvements which have caused upset in local communities. They should no longer be imposed on people. We need better cycleways and safer cycleways, but I think rather than coming up with a fake consultation and impose them on the communities regardless, we need to bring the communities in and say, okay, there's an important bunch of catchment of people here, there's an important destination there, how can we safely get cycles to there on a decent cycleway that's user-friendly, that is safe, because a lot of them aren't, Some of them are very good, but a lot of them aren't, unfortunately. And start that way, start from the ground up. So all those things, I think, there's a lot of ways we can save money and a lot of ways we can save money within the council, and we have to. I would be opposed to any idea to sell assets that earn income. Like, they'll give it to us, and really, we need to give those assets on to future generations. Otherwise, they're going to be disinherited by one particular generation, and I'm not particularly happy with that.
That was Councillor Mike Lee talking about Auckland Council's budget deficit.
Have you tried mindfulness? Try mindfulness.
City Councilling on 95 BFM.